If so far in our Making a Difference series, anyone has actually heard anything that has made a difference in your life, and Sandra there isn't allowed to say anything because she told me when she was leaving this morning, I'm leaving this place a changed person. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that absolutely wonderful? So, and I said, oh, you'll be able to shout out tonight. You'll be able to shout out tonight. So I'm asking, although not counting Sandra, anything that you've heard in this series so far, has it actually made a difference in your life? Or has it prompted you to maybe try to make a difference in someone else's life? You see, every intervention by Jesus, be it direct or indirect, it always makes a difference in the lives of individuals. But would you hear this? For some, his intervention is a good thing. For others, maybe not so good. However, we shouldn't consider this unusual, because the Apostle Paul, speaking to the Christians in Corinth, said about their witness to other people, to the one we are the aroma of death, leading to death. And to the other, we are the aroma of life, leading to life. I'm going to tell you something. It matters not what shower gel you use. It matters not what eau de toilette, or whatever way you say it in French, that Christians use. You can tell I went to the French class in my school, can't you? It doesn't matter what smelly stuff you use in the shower. Spiritually speaking, some people will smell like putrescine, while others will smell of roses. Now, that will actually help us understand that as we aim to make a difference in the lives of other people, sharing the gospel and reaching out to them with the love of God, some people will reject us and scorn us, slam the doors in our faces and tell us to F off, while others will embrace us and what we seek to do. Nonetheless, whether rejected or accepted, we should continue to be witnesses for Christ. Now, I don't want anybody to answer this, please. I'm just putting this rhetorically. If I was to ask, what is the bane of your life right now? That one thing, that one person or whatever that really winds you up. You're not allowed to say you, talking about me. What is the bane in your life right now? What is that one thing or that one person that really winds you up? Could you answer it? Now, wives are not allowed to say, yeah, the husband. And husbands are not allowed to say, yes, the wife. The bane of my life right now, the worst thing in my life possibly at this time, is a Staffordshire Bull Terrier. It belongs to one of the boys that stand with me. And although it is a lovely, lovely dog, and I even take it for walks down to Bloomfield Playing Fields, I absolutely hate it living at my house. And every single day, I wish it was gone. Now, I would never do what that horrible person did the other day and bait it to death with a hat. Much as I would like to at times, I wouldn't do it. No. That's not the same one. As Jim was saying, I told a joke this morning about somebody breaking into the Warwick Bar, and when the police were there, they caught them, and he says, have you seen my dog? Anyway, this horrible dog, lovely dog, which I hate living at my house, and I have to stress, it's a lovely dog, but I hate it living at my house. I've actually trained it to understand its place in the house. You know, like there's a pecking order, and dogs pick these things up. And I've trained it to understand its place. Like, when it comes to meal times, the dog has learned to lie in the living room until we have eaten, and then it comes for its food. First we eat, and then the dog. It took ages to train it to understand this, and I can assure you that no dogs were harmed in the training. But first we eat, and then the dog. In our Bible passage tonight, we'll see that this is exactly how Jesus believes things should be. Or does he? Turn to Matthew chapter 15. And we're reading from verse 21 through to 28. Matthew chapter 15, verse 21 through to 28 says this. Then Jesus went out from there and departed to the region of Tyre and Sidon, or Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came from that region and cried out to him, saying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed." But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, "Send her away, for she cries out after us." But Jesus answered and said, "I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Then she came and worshipped him, saying, "Lord, help me." But he answered and said, "It is not good to take the children's bread and to throw it to the little dogs." And she said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered and said to her, "O woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire." And her daughter was healed from that very hour. I mean, Jesus had left Galilee and he had traveled north to the district of Tyre and Sidon. That's in modern day Lebanon. And this was Gentile territory. This was non-Jewish territory. In fact, Jews still put their lives at risk going into northern southern Lebanon, or into any part of Lebanon these days. It was Gentile territory, and any followers of Jesus may have questioned in their mind why he would go to such a place as this. Let me set it into our context. This is the equivalent of the Pope traveling through West Belfast from Lagmore down the Stuartstown Road onto the Falls Road up Conway Street and suddenly finding himself on the Shankill Road. And people would certainly question, what's he at? What's he doing? So with Jesus, people would wonder why he wanted to enter this Gentile region. But Jesus knew he had a divine appointment, and it was an appointment that he was going to keep. In fact, Mark's gospel says that Jesus was at someone's house in this area trying to keep a low profile. Well, this Canaanite, this Syrophoenician woman approached and cried out, "Have mercy, O Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed." Note how this foreigner, this Gentile, this non-Jew calls Jesus Lord, Son of David. The woman is distraught. The words that she's using here are way down with emotion. She is absolutely distraught because her daughter is demon possessed. Now, we should never discard the reality of demon possession even today. Look, it's not going to be like something out of The Exorcist where somebody's head spins around and they vomit pea soup. It's not like that. But we should never discard the reality of demon possession even today. I believe, and this is my personal view, I believe there are individuals sectioned under the Mental Health Act who may in fact be demon possessed, and no medical intervention will ever cure them. On the other hand, we shouldn't assume that all who have a mental health issue, such as, for example, schizophrenia or personality disorder or even epilepsy, we should not ever assume that they are possessed. The difficulty with Western society and the Western church is that Satan convinces people that he and his demons don't exist. But they are very, very real. This woman cried to Jesus about her daughter, and he seemed to just ignore her. Even the disciples said to Jesus, "Get rid of her. She's a flaming nuisance, shouting like that." And then Jesus looked at her and said, I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And now she ignores Jesus and what Jesus just said, and she cries again, Lord, help me, help me. And then Jesus said, and Mark's gospel is the best translation of this, in chapter 7, verse 27, Jesus says, first let the children be filled. It is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. You see, my dog training is biblical. First let the children eat, then the dogs. Do you know that you know you get all these different versions of the Bible? You get the King James Version, the New King James Version, the Northern Ireland Version, the New International Version, the Revised Standard Version. Did you know that there was once a version called the Murderer's Bible? Now, that wasn't a Bible that was given to people who had murdered someone or was waiting in death row. It was called the Murderer's Bible because when the typesetters were setting it for print, when it came to Mark chapter 7, verse 27, they made a typographical error. And in fact, the verse said, first let the children be killed and then do whatever. And so it was nicknamed the Murderer's Bible. Jesus said to the woman, first let the children be filled. It is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. Do you know that this woman was so desperate to have her daughter healed that she took no offense at what Jesus said? Yes, Lord, she said. Yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from the master's table. And then Jesus said, woman, great is your faith. Isn't it interesting that the only two people in the New Testament and the Gospels that you will hear Jesus speaking about great faith are not Jews. They're Gentiles. It was the Roman centurion, and now this week it's the woman, the Syrophoenician woman. Jesus said to her, woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire. And her daughter was healed from that very hour. I wonder, would you be satisfied with the crumbs that fall from the master's table? Would that be enough? Last week we looked at the feeding of the 5,000 and the bread of the barley loaves and the fish, and the 5,000 men plus women and children all fed until they were full and there was leftovers. But I wonder, would you be satisfied with the crumbs that would fall from the master's table? Jesus first pointed out that his mission was first to the children of Israel, and that's why he said, at first let the children be filled. However, we know from earlier in John's gospel that he says Jesus came to his own, but his own did not receive him, which is why Jesus was going up north. The children's bread of which he spoke was the blessings, or were the blessings of God. And I can say tonight, thanks be to God for this journey by Jesus to the region of Tyre and Sidon, because it showed the good news of God and his kingdom, and all of his blessings were for Gentiles too. That means non-Jews. Jesus did not seek to offend the woman by calling her or her people dogs. He used a term that meant a wee family pet, like that horrible dog that lives at my house. He used a term that meant a family pet, but he used it only as a metaphor. Jesus did not seek to humiliate this woman. Rather, because he knew it was a divine appointment, he wanted to draw out her faith in him as a witness to other people. And the woman's reply demonstrated her faith and humility, because she said, yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which falls from the master's table. She was prepared to accept the crumbs. She was prepared, if the Jews want to be filled, so be it, but please give me the crumbs that fall from your table. And Jesus said, oh woman, great is your faith. Let it be as you desire. And her daughter was healed. Jesus made a difference, first and foremost, by showing this. There are no no-go areas for the gospel and the grace of God. And let me tell you tonight, whether you are here or whether you are watching on Facebook or later in the week listening to our podcast, let me tell you something. There is no no-go area as far as Jesus and his love for you is concerned. He will go to the greatest lengths. He will go to the highest heights and the depths to find you and to show you his love. There is no no-go areas for the gospel and the grace of God. Whether it be Tyre and Sidon or the Falls and the Shankill, there is no no-go areas for Jesus. The Lord has divine appointments with people everywhere. And he wants to use you Christians. He wants to use us in them. You know, maybe tonight, right now, he has a divine appointment with you. As you listen to this message, is Jesus speaking to you? Secondly, Jesus made a difference because he showed his disciples that this woman was not a nuisance, but a woman of great faith. Don't ever believe that Jesus thinks you're a nuisance or that he's ignoring you by not answering your prayers or your cries. The next time you question, why does God not answer my prayers? Why does Jesus not answer my prayers? Think about this. Jesus loves you very much, and he may keep you praying or calling onto him to draw out your faith in him as a witness to others around about you. But be sure of this, he will answer your prayers in his time. Thirdly, Jesus made a difference by healing the woman's daughter from demonic possession. And he said, let it be as you desire. Demons, Satan, all the host of hell are very, very real. And demons, Satan, are subject to the name of Jesus. And I pray for anyone who is oppressed, anyone who may be possessed even tonight, that in the name of Jesus, they would be set free from demonic strongholds over their lives. Finally, Jesus showed that he has authority over all evil spirits, and he can still set people free today from satanic bondage. Again, I say it, in the Western world, to Christians, to the unbelievers, Satan will do his utmost to convince you that he doesn't exist. But he is very, very real. And his demons are very, very real. And again, I will say, in the name of Jesus, you can be set free from demonic influences. So, Christian, there are no no-go areas for the gospel and the grace of God. And that means there is not a person on this planet that you cannot speak to about Jesus. You get that wee thought in your head, maybe I should say something about Jesus, and you say, oh, no, 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 I can't. There is no no-go areas. There are no no-go areas for the gospel and the grace of God. And that means there is no one that you cannot speak to about Jesus. And I would say, go in the strength of the Lord and tell others of Jesus, of the full salvation that is found in him. And you know what? Who knows? The next person that you speak to may be a divine appointment. And your intervention in Jesus' name will make a difference in that person's life for all eternity. So what? So what if we smell like death to some? We smell of roses and life to others. Christian, the name of Jesus is a powerful name. And you have been authorized in that name and to use that name to cast down spiritual hosts of wickedness, to cast out demons, and to tell people that there is freedom in Christ. Go in the strength of the Lord and tell others. Maybe tonight you're here or you're listening to the podcast or live on Facebook. Let me tell you, there is no length that Jesus wouldn't go to save you from Satan, sin, and death. Outside of Jesus, without him in your life, you, the Bible says, and this is the word of God, the Bible says, without Jesus in your life, you right now are under God's condemnation, and you are destined for hell. And it is Satan, the god of this world, who is blinding you to the truth that you need to be saved. It is him right now putting it into your thoughts. Don't listen to that, Egypt. It's him putting it into your head right now. Don't become a Christian yet. Leave it till away later on, but you don't know if you're going to be here tomorrow. Satan, the god of this world, blinds people to the truth that they need to be saved. And unless you cry out to the Lord for mercy, you will perish. But Jesus loves you. And he will not ignore the genuine cry of a broken and contrite heart. Lord, help me. Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. And so I urge you tonight to call upon the name of the Lord so that you might be saved. Let's pray. Lord, we want to thank you that you journeyed from the Galilee region up to southern Lebanon, to the region of Tyre and Sidon, a Gentile area. And that showed, Lord, that the good news of the kingdom, that the full salvation that you offer was being extended to the Gentiles also. And tonight, many of us in this church and many who are listening to the message are Gentiles. And we thank you, Jesus, that that good news has been extended to us. Lord, help us to realize that Satan is real and all the hosts of demons are real. Let us not get caught up by focusing upon them, but let us focus upon you, Lord, because you have all authority over Satan and over the hosts of hell. And we ask that in your name, Lord Jesus, right now, tonight, people would be set free from the demonic strongholds in their lives, that you would break, Lord God, the satanic grip in people's lives, that you would set people free from the lies and the deceit of Satan, and that the God of this world would no longer hold people in blindness to the kingdom of God and to the gospel of Jesus Christ, and that you would set captives free tonight, Lord, where Satan and his host, Lord God, have robbed people of years, Lord God, of peace, Lord, of knowing you. We pray that you would put a stop to it tonight and that you would command Satan to let your people go tonight and that they would be set free to praise and to worship you, Lord. Oh, Jesus, we thank you that your name is a wonderful name, that your name is a powerful name, and it is, Lord, in your name that we commit this unto you, asking that your word, Lord, would do its work in the lives of all who have heard it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.